Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California, August 15, 1980. Second interview with Mr. Kelvin Chang at his office in Chinatown, conducted by Beverly Chen. Mr. Chang, what is your Chinese name?
Jiang Hei Zhao.
And you say you were born in China. Did you miss the place where you were born while you were over here?
Oh, yes. Even though you
did go back quite a bit, huh?
No.
You were back in China, weren't you?
Yeah, back and forth a few times.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't go back to my village.
Oh, that's right.
I go back to China to get my education.
Uh-huh.
And to work.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't miss the village that much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very backward and no modern conveniences.
Uh-huh.
It's very important in the year that when we live over here, we have all the modern conveniences, but back in China we don't have it.
Like electricity?
We don't have electricity at that time. So during my years, you know, I'm 72 years old.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm 72 years old. Before that time, there was no modern bathroom, no electricity, no gas. We burn wood and what you call it, straws. Grass.
Mm-hmm. When you were in America, did you associate mostly with Chinese or non-Chinese?
Well, it could be half and half. 75% with all Chinese, 25% with the general public.
General public. And of the general public, how much of that was non-white? Any non-whites?
Very few.
I see. How about other non-Chinese Asians?
Very few.
On the whole, did you feel more Chinese or more American?
I feel more Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Besides the instance where you said you had difficulty getting a job because you were Chinese, were there any other cases of discrimination against you? You felt because of your race.
Yes, that was before, a long time ago.
Yes, we're talking about before 1945, and specifically in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, I don't recall any instance that I encountered to any discrimination in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you're feeling more Chinese than American is typical of most Chinese in America?
Yes, because I'm associated with a lot of Chinese here.
Mm-hmm.
My clients are all Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason. I have to speak Chinese all the time.
I see. And even if they were born here, they spoke Chinese?
No. If they're born here, then we carry on our conversation with English.
Ah.
Yeah.
When you were in America, did you ever consume herbal or medicine or things of that sort?
Only once in a while. I don't trust the Chinese herbs.
Oh.
Not that much.
How about your parents?
My parents, yes, they have to, because those years, they have to rely on the Chinese medicine. But During my years in El Viso with my father, close to San Jose, that El Viso town there, when he was vice president of the company, of the Bayside Canyon Company, when he
Bayside Camping Company.
Canyon.
Oh, Canyon. Yeah,
yeah. Bayside Canyon Company.
Uh-huh.
When he was sick, there was no Chinese doctor, so he went to see American doctors.
Oh, but he would have preferred a Chinese doctor.
I don't think so.
No.
No. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. See, but he was seldom sick, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You see? So I don't know.
Now how about that nutritious stuff? The
the Chinese nutritious stuff?
Yeah. Did you believe in them, or did he believe in them?
I believe in them a little, yeah. I don't know. See, he usually take those ginseng. Yes, I think when he feel weak, he would go to San Francisco and get some ginseng. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh.
And
did you ever do that?
I do that too, once in a long while.
Oh.
Even now, see, because ginseng is so popular, it attract people so much. I'm tempted to take some ginseng once in a while. I haven't taken it this year, but I have taken it, I think I had taken it to a one or two times last year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
How about in recreation? Did you prefer Chinese recreational activities such as Chinese operas or mahjong, things of that sort, or did you prefer more Americanized things like ball games and movies? That was before the 40s, before 1945.
Oh, before 1945, the recreation for the Chinese here was the mahjong game.
Mm-hmm.
I played mahjong myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no Chinese opera, only once in a long while.
So mahjong was the only recreational activity?
Mahjong was the only recreation. Oh, of course, we played tennis. I like to play tennis.
Was that a popular sport among the Chinese?
Oh, yeah, among the Chinese, the educated Chinese, I would say. Yeah,
How about your father?
No, not my father. No, he's not used to it. He has no training on that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of training. I played almost every day when I was young, when I was between 16 and 25. I played a lot of tennis.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was there a tennis club of any kind among the Chinese?
No. Not before 45, not that I know of. But when I was in school, we had a lot of tennis courts in school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of tennis courts in our school.
Which school is that?
Oh, that's Lingnan.
Oh, yes.
Lingnan's in Kentown.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Lingnan University. I played a lot of tennis. The 4 years college there, I play a few times every week. Even though when I was in high school, I'd play a lot of tennis.
Was tennis considered an American sport by the Chinese?
Yes, considered an American sport, both American and Chinese sport. you can say that
would,
too.
Would the local Chinese play it too, other than those that returned from America?
No, not too many. Not too many. But if you are, if you go through high school and colleges in China, it's a it was a popular game at that time. Tennis, football, tennis, volleyball.
Football, you mean soccer?
Soccer, yeah.
Yeah.
And basketball.
Oh, yes.
I played I played basketball. I played volleyball.
All the popular sports among the Chinese back home.
Yeah.
I see.
When you were when you were in school, you know.
Yeah.
Those people not in school, they don't play. But there are a lot of students. There were a lot of students.
Who played?
Played.
Ah, I see. What kind of music did you like back then?
I like Chinese music.
Ah,
yeah.
And even now you still do?
I still do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you say Chinese music, you mean
Chinese opera.
The Chinese opera.
Yeah, Chinese opera.
Not the Mandarin style, but the Cantonese style.
Both.
Both.
I like both. I tell you the reason I like both was I went to the north to Tianjin to study when I attended high school.
Oh, I thought you attended high school here and then
No. I attended high school in Tianjin,
mm-hmm.
went back to Lingnan to get my college education.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those two were...
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
How many years of high school did you have in Tianjin?
I had 4 years.
Oh.
I had 4 years in Tianjin. See, I went to opera not too many times, but I like it.
Mm.
See?
I see.
And,
when were you, when did you arrive in Tianjin?
1924.
I see. And you came here to America in
1919.
So you were here for a brief period of 5 years.
No,
right?
No. I, from 1919 to 1923. I was here. Then, 1923, I went back to with my father. I went back to Canton.
Right.
Studied 1 year.
Uh-huh.
1 year of primary school. Then I went to Tianjin for 4 years,
then,
high school.
Uh-huh. And
then I came back to Canton, studied at Lingnan for four years, college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so you came back to America around 1920?
No, 1934 I came back.
Yeah,
1934 I went to Michigan.
That's right, you went to Michigan University, right?
University of Michigan.
For your master degree?
I got my master in 1935, and I studied for 1 year for my doctoral degree, and I didn't finish my doctoral degree.
Uh-huh. Was it in business?
In business, yeah. In economics, I would say, in economics.
Yeah.
Statistics.
Okay. when you came to Los Angeles, which was about, you know, after your Michigan, after going up to Seattle and then working for a while. You came down to LA in 1939, was it?
No. If you want some more of my, working history, I went, 1936, I went back to China.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm interested in when you came to L.A.
When? I arrived in L.A. in 1944. I came to L.A. in 1944. See, I was up in Seattle for 5 years.
Oh.
From 39 to 44.
Okay, from 44 on, in the 40s, were you aware of any prominent families or individuals in Los Angeles, Chinese?
Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were quite a few, like Y.C. Hong.
Mm-hmm.
Y.C. Hong is a well-known Chinese attorney.
Right.
And Peter Suhu.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And let's see now, who else? And of course, at that time, there was Thomas Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Wong and
That's okay. You can tell me.
Yeah.
What you think of it? Did you join any associations?
Oh yeah, I joined the Longgong Association, and later I joined the CACA.
Uh-huh.
Chinese,
yes,
American Citizen Alliance, and I joined the Chinese Association, Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah, I belong to all those.
What kind of activities did they sponsor?
Well, Longgong is typically a family association. Longgong Association,
right,
is a family, four family.
Mm-hmm, right.
Four family association.
So what
I would say they concentrate their attentions on all the family members and trying to help one another.
Mm-hmm.
If they need something, see, we try to help one another.
Mm-hmm. And but same thing with the Benevolent Association?
The Chinese Benevolent Associations concentrate more on the social side, on the society.
Mm-hmm.
See, as a whole, the whole Chinese, they can
see, society.
It's a wider scope.
I see. And
CACA is mostly on immigration and mostly immigration matters.
Yeah. Were the Chinese particularly interested in American politics in those days?
Yes, not much. I don't see much activities at that time.
Mm-hmm.
No, like the elections and voting. And
how many members did the CACA have?
That time.
Which was when?
Which was the 40s.
Uh-huh, right.
In the 40s, a little bit over 100, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Now they have a few hundred.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what kind of activities did they sponsor?
It's mostly confined to members, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
We had, at that time, we had picnics, we had socials.
But weren't there any political activities?
No. We had no political activity at that time, no. Only when a certain political figures,
mm-hmm,
ask for help,
mm-hmm,
then the board take the matter up and for discussion and see whether we can raise some funds or ask or have him to come down and give us a speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. If they don't ask, we don't act on them.
I see. You said you went back to Mainan and to Tianjin to, in other words, going back to China to get more Chinese education. Was that your own free will, or was that your father's idea?
It's my father's idea.
See.
Try to educate me in a Chinese way.
Uh-huh.
See.
Were you the only son?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of thing common among Chinese here who brought their children over at a very young age to want to send them back to China.
Yeah, they want them. Yeah, they want their children to get some American education first.
Uh-huh.
Then send them, send the children back to China to get more education, both Chinese and American education.
Mm. Did many Chinese do that?
Oh yeah,
actually,
quite a few.
When you were in Lingnan, how many American Chinese or those Chinese returning from America?
I have no idea. There? I have no idea. But as
was it a
now,
large percentage or a significant
percentage? We have a separate school there.
Oh, just for
Overseas.
Oh.
For overseas students, you know, in Lingnan, the student body is well over 100. That
mm-hmm.
include the student from Nam Yang too, from
yeah.
the Malay Islands and
uh-huh.
and all the other areas.
All the other, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember how many from America there were.
There were quite a few. I would say there were over 20.
Mm-hmm.
See, in Lingnan.
Were they mostly from the East Coast or the West Coast?
I cannot say.
Both
sides, East and West, from San Francisco area and from New York area.
But I presume this kind of option of going back to China to get education is only open to those who can afford it. Right?
Yeah,
was
that's
it
right.
very expensive to get an education at Lingnan?
No, it was not expensive. Maybe during those days, when you only when you were only making about $50-$60 a month. And send a boy back to Lingnan to get education, and you have to spend about $400 Hong Kong currency.
Mm-hmm.
That means around $150 U.S. Currency.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I think that's considered pretty high. When you were earning only $600 or $700 a year, and you have to support yourself,
mm-hmm.
support the family,
mm-hmm.
besides sending the boy back to China to go to school,
mm.
you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it must have been very important.
Yeah. Well, of course, my father make a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but in average, see. An average worker here at that time is around $700-$800 a year.
In the 30s or 40s, I guess.
No, in the 20s.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you said a year.
A year.
Oh, okay.
In the 20s.
Yeah. Oh, in the 20s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose your father sent you back? Why
well,
would
he
let you be and. America, since you were already here. Anyway,
yeah, but he still
sort of
he
melt into the pot.
He felt that I did not learn enough Chinese.
Uh-huh. He didn't want you to be an American, in other words.
Oh yeah, he want me to make a good living here.
But he didn't want you to be an American, which was
maybe deep down in his heart, he didn't want me to be an American just like any white American.
Uh-huh.
He want me to have a lot of Chinese education, a lot of Chinese culture,
uh-huh.
so that after I get all my educations here,
uh-huh.
then I can go back to China and serve.
Serve what? Or serve who?
Serve the Chinese.
Oh,
in
he
China.
Wanted you to go back.
I think that's what he has in mind.
Did he do that himself?
No, because he was not educated.
Oh.
See, he the main theme in his mind was he want his children to be highly educated and serve the Chinese in the mainland. Mm-hmm. He was very patriotic Chinese, even though he was an American citizen. His heart. Was there.
I see. When you said he wanted you to go back to serve, did he say expect you to do that when you are in your 50s or something? Or did he expect you to work just a few years here and go back to China or what?
I think so. I think he wanted me to get education,
mm-hmm.
and spent most of my life in China. That's what he wanted.
I see.
That's what he wanted.
But he did want you to do some business here first to make money.
Make some money. Yeah.
I see. did he want you to be an official of some sort?
No. See, he want me to be a very successful businessman.
Oh, I see. Was that a prerequisite to contributing? Making contributions to China?
Yes.
You have to be rich yourself in order to go back? Why couldn't you just stay there and work?
You can't get anywhere without an education.
Well, provided, say, you finish your Michigan school and just go back to China and start working, then you could have, right?
I could have. I tell you why. Because the war came. Otherwise, I would stay there. See, when the war came, it broke everything.
Uh-huh. And after the war, you didn't think about going back?
No.
Okay. Getting back to the other side of the point of Chinese, being Chinese, how about marriages? You married a woman back in China, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and how about other people?
What do you mean, other Chinese?
Did they tend to? I think you said that the Chinese born here tend to like to go back.
Yeah, tend to go back and get married over there,
yeah.
and raise their family over there, and
then bring them over here again.
No. They just want to stay over there.
Okay. What about having children? Did they prefer having sons?
They prefer having sons. More than daughters.
You're talking about those who were born here, or those who were who came over here, like around your age, or everybody wanted some.
Well, before my generation.
How about in your generation?
In my, they don't care. Whether sons or daughters, they don't care,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to have too many children either. It's a burden.
Yeah. When you came to Los Angeles, did you observe that the Chinese businessmen, say, was doing well, better than everybody else, or worse than everybody else?
No. Most of the people here are laundrymen. Laundrymen.
I think you mentioned that they don't.
They have their restaurants. Operate a small restaurant.
Mm-hmm. How about now? Would you say that the Chinese population is doing better or worse than the general population?
I think that the Chinese here are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
No. They are doing very well. They are treated well here, and they are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
There was no discrimination.
In your field, were there many Chinese accounting?
Oh yeah.
Even in the 40s?
In the 40s in Los Angeles, no, not too many.
I see.
In the 40s, there were three or four.
That's all?
That's all. I mean, public public accountants like myself coming up to serve, take care of the Chinese business accounts.
You chose the accounting field when you majored in business in the Lingnan?
In Lingnan, yes. I majored in accounting, and when I came over to Michigan, I majored in statistics, business statistics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And were you going to get into business statistics in a major corporation or something?
Yes, but I didn't. I planned to, but I, number one, I didn't have adequate, let's say, I didn't have adequate training in business statistics. I only had 2 years.
Uh-huh.
If I had more, then I would be better. My standard would be higher, and I could get a better job. See? But during those years, it's hard to get a job.
Yeah.
There was discrimination. They won't take you in.
Mm-hmm.